Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Yes, it is our once-a-month check-in with our good friend Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, to find out what is the state of agriculture in Florida. Of course, lots of stuff going on all the time. It's a little bit slower time of his life in the sort of winter as harvest is mostly done. Ryan Jenkins, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, doing great. How are you? Have you reached relaxation mode yet?
I've never heard of her. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know
what relaxation mode is.
I know.
I don't have that mode.
You wouldn't know what to do with yourself anyway. You'd be so confused. If I had spare time,
that's
what's
right.
That? Okay, so finished with the main harvest?
We did. We finished picking cotton last Saturday evening. And that was the last thing we had to do. We'd finished our soybeans a few days before that. And, you know, our peanuts, I don't remember if we were finished the last time we spoke or not. But
I think you were almost.
They've been finished for a little bit now.
I think, yep. And there had been concerns with the peanuts about the dryness and the drought, which, of course, is always a concern, you know, generally. So how did that turn out?
It was like we expected, you know, the rain kind of stopped in our area in August and just, you know, to speak of, we haven't had it. We've had a shower or two here or there, but basically no rain since August until, last weekend, I think it was. So it did hurt us toward the end, the later peanuts, you know, that the drought affected a little bit more. And, of course, our soybeans, you know, when they started putting pods on, it was about August when it stopped raining. And so they basically made what they made without hardly any rain while they were actually – fruiting. They were down 30% or so.
Wow.
The yields were, you know, not what we were looking for on those, but peanut started real strong, ended weak, so they're going to be about average for us this year. And cotton, this will probably, I'm almost sure when I say this will probably be the highest yielding cotton crop we've had in our area.
Oh, okay.
As far as yield per acre. It won't be the most cotton we've ever produced because there weren't as many acres because the price is so low. But the people that did grow cotton, almost all of them are saying they made the best cotton they've ever made. So.
Oh, that's great. And quality? How's quality for the major crops?
Quality has the soybeans were terrible as far as quality, but the peanuts and cotton were good. You know, they were better than average quality. So
all right,
that part's good for us as well. We'll take it. I'm not complaining.
So what? I mean, give us a picture of did you pay the bills this year? Are you going to make a profit? Are you going to lose money? Are you going to have to ask for refinancing for bigger checks? You know, how'd it turn out?
It'll be, we don't know yet because, like, you know, our cotton, they haven't finished ginning it yet.
Okay.
So we don't know exactly where we are. And then we still, you know, that's one of the unique things about farming. I still don't know what I'm going to get for some of my crops. But anyway, I think it'll be around a break-even year.
Okay. All right.
So that's something, there's something to be said there.
It can be worse. We've had worse recently, right?
Right. But this is one of those deals where in years past, like this cotton crop that we just made, that would have been a bunch of money to put into the bank. That would have been money to buy a new tractor. That would have been money to buy some land. Like the kinds of yields that we were making this year, if the price would have been good, would have been just something else. But I'm very thankful that, like I tell everybody, they say, well, the price is so bad. Well, the price is bad, but thank God we made a good enough yield that we can keep going and not go backwards like we thought we were going to go when we planted this crop.
And, you know, as you sometimes say, you know, we didn't get a good year. We got an okay year, but having the good years is an important part of the ups and downs to offset so many of the downs. I mean, you know, so that I understand what you're getting at with that. Have you guys gotten paid? I know the last time we talked, you know, there was a lot of concerns about tariffs, which I assume continue to affect you adversely. But also the concern or the fact that the Farm Service Agency had not dispensed its money, $3 billion or so, or I don't know, whatever you guys get and everybody else gets. Have they dispersed their money?
We haven't gotten the money that you're talking about, but, you know, when we were talking before, the way it's all set up with a loan program and things like that, we weren't able to get paid for our peanut crop. That was the big thing we were talking about. You
okay.
know, we made this crop, but they held the lion's share of the money, the way the system works. So anyway, we have been able to, once they open back up, they process those payments very quickly, and we were able to get paid for our crop. So that was the biggest part. Now, any other monies that they come out with, any kind of disaster payments or payments dealing with these tariffs and things like that, where they know that the tariffs have hurt the farmers drastically, those are, you know, supposedly in the works, in the talks. Supposedly there's supposed to be a big announcement from the Secretary of Ag next week about that. So, excuse me. So we're all on pins and needles waiting to see what they're going to say that might could help us some.
Okay, but the adversity of the shutdown, which was really affecting you the last couple of times we've talked, I mean, I assume it's still, you had carrying costs during that time for loans you weren't able to repay because you hadn't got the money, and that sucks, you know, but, you know, so goes it. Here we go. Briefly talked about the tariffs, and it's kind of funny. I was reading a book the other day. It was an economist book, and he told me something that I did not know. He said that in North Santa Rosa County, you all don't just grow cotton and peanuts and soybeans, but you actually grow pickup trucks and TVs. And I thought that was kind of a weird thing to say in a book. But you know, since you grow, you know, crops, peanuts and cotton that you export, and in return they send us TVs and pickup trucks, you do grow pickups and TVs in North Santa Rosa as far as the end consumer is concerned. And anything that interferes with that trade means that we are interfering with the competitive marketplace of people who make them here and people who make other things that we trade for them overseas with. And yeah, I thought it was an interesting perspective on, you know, how crops and trade work to bring us products and services.
It is. I haven't really thought of it exactly like that, but that's an interesting point, and I fully agree with it. I mean, it's all connected.
Yeah.
I say that all the time. Everything we do is connected, and you can't affect one thing without affecting a million others.
No doubt. You guys are into what, cover crop planting now, which is, for people who may not know, that's the crops to, you know, keep the soil protected from dusting up and going away in the wind, and kind of to protect your topsoil during the winter months. Is that right?
That's right. So now that we have completed our, you know, I call them our money crops, our main summer crops, now we'll plant cover crop on every acre that we have, just to, like you say, it protects against soil erosion, whether it be from water or wind. It keeps the nutrients tied up closer to the surface of the ground where the roots typically are, instead of the fertilizers and stuff leaching deeper and deeper and deeper every time it rains from it not being used. Those plants are using it themselves and keeping them stored in the plants. And then when you kill those plants in the spring, you know, they just turn into organic matter and refertilize the soil. And, you know, it does that. It helps keep weeds down. There's a million, it helps conserve moisture. There's a million reasons we do it. And it's pretty. When everything's so dead during the winter, you can at least ride around and see some green. So it's just something we've done for many years now, and I believe in it wholehearted. It's a project. It's a chore, but I haven't added up the acres. We're probably half done planting cover crop or somewhere close to it.
What are your cover crops this December?
All of ours are either wheat or oats.
Wheat or oats. Okay. All right. Very
good. And then,
good.
Of course, you know, we'll harvest some of those this spring to to save to reuse for seed next fall for our cover crops.
So you sowed your oats?
Absolutely. If there's anybody that can say they sowed their oats, it's Ryan.
That's right. hey, I do have
and
a serious...
I need to sow some more.
And your wife approves, so all is good. The farm bill that's moving through the Florida legislature, I don't know a lot about it. What I did read is it had some stuff dealing with penalties for disparaging, like food in Florida. Have you been paying attention to this farm bill very much? You have any thoughts about it?
I have not paid much attention to it. I do know that it's happening and that, you know, there are a lot of good people working on it. I have not followed it as closely simply because I have not had the time. Until last Saturday evening, all I've done is hold a steering wheel. So I haven't followed it like I should, but, I mean, that's starting last Saturday, you know, that's pretty much what I'll do during the winter, those types of things. I'll be talking to different groups, as many as I can, spreading the word about where your food and fiber come from, and many, many meetings dealing with things just like you're talking about. So that's typically what I'll do then from now till about March is a whole slew of meetings and meeting with people and just trying to protect what we have and further agriculture.
You know, you made me think of a question that I have no idea what the answer is. You farm for a living. You know, you drive a tractor and a plow and a harvester and, you know, all the stuff and the spreaders. And you farm for a living. And it makes me wonder, when you're back home at the Jenkins Farm, where I've been, of course, Farm Day and other events, and it's a great location, do you do gardening? Like, just personal, you know, I don't know, strawberries and rhubarb and, you know, cilantro? I mean, do you do any – is gardening fun for you?
I don't do it, but my mom and dad are not master gardeners, like they have a certificate, but they're as good as they get, and they have a great garden every summer and share their harvest with the neighbors and people like that.
Okay.
And, I mean, you know, they're on up in their 70s and in their upper 70s, and they work very, very hard. They're out there picking peas and picking corn and
okay,
you know, growing tomatoes and potatoes, and they grow it all, and it is something I'm very proud of. But no, I just don't have time. I feel like during that time of year, I don't have time to do that like I should.
You're too busy paying the bills to have a hobby of the same activity for less profit. Yeah, I was just kind of curious. I figured that'd be the case, but I didn't know what it was going to be. We always like to end with a farm myth or a farm fact or something, you know, kind of thing about farming. What do you got for me?
All right. 1 pound of cotton can make enough thread to reach 19 miles. So
okay.
1 pound of cotton, which isn't very much, when they spin it down, it can make if it makes a fine enough thread, it can reach one spool of that will cover 19 miles.
And those bales,
that's
pretty wild, yeah. And a bale that you see on the side of the road, just for context, is 500 pounds? 5,000 pounds? I can't even remember. What's the bale size?
The round rolls that you see that look like a giant hay bale, those have about 4 bales of cotton in them. So they'll have about 2,000 pounds of processed cotton in them.
Okay.
So they weigh about 5,000 pounds.
Okay. All right. I gotcha. All right. Okay. So that's before it's ginned. Okay. I gotcha. That makes sense. Okay.
Correct.
Ryan Jenkins, he is our farmer from Jay, Florida, owner Jenkins Farms. Ryan, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and we won't talk to you probably before Christmas, so have a great Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you again in January. Thank you always for the information, and you know what I always say, thank you for feeding and clothing my kids, man.
Well, Merry Christmas. I hope everybody has some great holidays with their family, and thank you for having us on all the time and getting the word out and spreading the word of agriculture and how important it is to everybody. We can't thank you enough. I've enjoyed becoming friends with you.
Yeah.
And we'll see everybody next year.